Amen, church. Grace that is greater than all our sins. Well, we say all means all, and what? That's all that all means. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that grace that God has given? Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap, not for me, but give it for him. Oh, my. What beautiful truth that we've been allowed to sing this morning. And the richness of being able to be gathered together because of Jesus. Amen. Well, my name is David Miles. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a joy to be with you guys this morning and open up God's Word. We're kicking off a new series called Better Together, because we are better together, better than cheddar, better than all that good stuff. And this morning, we are going to be jumping in the first of four messages. Next week, Pastor Matthew is going to come and talk about multiplying disciples and how Jesus calls his followers to multiply by reaching the spiritual hungry with the life-saving message of Jesus. Then after that, Pastor Paul is going to come and talk about serving our neighbors, the joy of being able to be used by Christ to love those around us. And then at the end, it's going to be Pastor Matthew and Pastor Pablo. Woo! My goodness, that's just yummy all up in here. And they're going to come and talk about reaching the nations. But today we're going to be looking at growing together. Listen to me. Life change happens most effectively in community. Not just gathering, but growing as we build one another up to become more and more like Jesus. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are you growing? Let me ask that again. This side might not be listening over here, y'all. Are you growing? Okay? Sometimes we feel like we are. Sometimes we feel like we're not. I want to show a picture up here. Back in the fall of 2019, my wife and I, my beautiful bride, Tammy, my better three quarters, we took a trip to Northern California to see some of our best friends and my accountability brother from seminary. And while we were there, we went to the Rockefeller Redwood Forest, and there we walked around. Actually, we walked around like this. Oh, my. Because we were noticing these amazing redwood trees that grow up, you know, to about 200 feet, some of them up to almost 400 feet. Later on our trip down, we drove to San Diego, and on our way, we stopped and saw the famous chandelier sequoia tree. Listen, it's 315 feet tall, 21 foot in diameter, and its age is 2,400 years. This tree is so big that my friend Tim, we drove his Durango through it. And these amazing trees, though they're so tall, like getting up to almost like the height of a 37-story building, you would think that they would have that they would have roots that go down to the tectonic plates trying to tap into the San Andreas Fault. But no, that's not the case. Actually, their root system is only about 5 to 6 feet tall. That's me. Okay? So how in the world do trees that get almost up to 400 feet tall have such a shallow root system? Well, the truth of the matter is that the root systems are interconnected with one another. The roots are connected with one another and other trees around them spreading out to almost 100 feet away from the trees. And so, as you saw up there, my wife was standing next to this big tree, but next to it were other trees. And listen, the application of this to the church is obvious. Without other redwoods, a single tree could never grow that high and survive the storms of life. But connected together, they are able to grow high and to endure long. The secret of their success is their interconnectedness. And the same is true for us. So this morning, I want to invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 in our Bible. That's going to be our text this morning. I get to hear those beautiful sounds of pages of scripture turning. And I'll just imagine, as people use their phones as well, that the swiping is that sound as well. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. To tell you a little bit about Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul in AD 60. As he was in Rome in prison, and this is one of his prison epistles. It's written to this diverse church of gatherers, giving the idea of what the purpose and idea of God's church was. And after a warm greeting, Paul affirms the glorious fact that believers in chapter 1 have been showered with God's kindness, chosen for greatness, marked with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit's power, freed from sin's curse and bondage, brought near to God and into his family, and given Christ home. Now, after that, I can just say amen and sit down. Because that by itself ought to get an amen. Oh my goodness. But then the Apostle Paul, going into chapter 4, he details the implications of being in the body of Christ. And in chapter 4, verse 1, he challenges the Ephesians and us to, listen, walk or to pursue a way of life in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. Now, he doesn't just leave that to ourselves. In verse 7, he says that grace was given to each, to the church, or given to each one of us, according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And God gives a variety of gifts in verse 11. And then the purpose in verse 12 is to equip the saints, that the saints would serve and the body or the church is built up. That word built that's used in that verse has in mind the mending or repairing. And the ultimate goal of these gifts is to build one another up. So this brings us to our passage today. Now, I want you to start at verse 11 with me, and when you're there, say amen. Actually, I'm going to start with 7, then go to 11. Verse 7 says this, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. This is going to be the focus of our time this morning, these next two verses. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow that it builds itself up in love. Amen? Amen. So this morning, as we get into our passage on verses 15 and 16, what Paul does is he gives a negative of this part of building up. He gives the subjunctive in verse 14. He says, guys, grow up in Christ so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness. But in verse 15, he gives us the positive. And in verse 15, he says, rather, speaking the truth in love. So this morning, we're going to talk about growing up. We're going to be talking about growing together because we're better together. We're going to look at our aim, our authority, our authenticating, our aim, our authority, our alignment, and our activity. And then we'll take it home. So this first part is our authenticating, which is truthing in love. Verse 15 says, rather, speaking the truth in love. Literally, it means truthing in love, the ideal of maintaining truth in love in both speech and life. Now, what is truth? Good question. Webster defines truth as sincerity in action, character in utterance, the state of being the case, literally the facts, the body of real things, events, and facts. Now, In the original language, it talks about truth of that which is certain and has validity. Truth is evidence in relation to the facts. It denotes the reality clearly lying before our eyes as opposed to a mere appearance or without reality. Why is this important? Because as a body, as a community of people, one of the critical things about us is our relationship one to another. A relationship is built upon trust. It's built upon respect. It's built upon care. Agape-type love is unconditional God-like love that seeks the highest good for others. Now, I want you to notice here, it says, rather speaking the truth, which some of us are good at, but maybe forget the in love. And that phrase in love occurs three times in this beginning part of Ephesians 4, verse 2, 15, and 16, and it speaks to the way of which unity or with growth must be undergirded. You see, because some things can be helpful, some things can be truthful, but not necessarily helpful. The story is told of Miss Fisher, who was recovering from surgery. She got a card from her fourth grade class, and it said, "Dear Mrs. Fisher, the fourth grade class wishes you a speedy recovery by the vote of 15 to 14. Truthful, but not helpful. So we want to speak both truth and to do it with love. Not that we speak truth and we hammer people that there's no love to it. That we just say, "I'm being prophetic." No. All right? When we're being salty. Or that it's all love and it's like, "I'm just so loving," but we don't speak truth to a situation. That we don't lovingly confront or address things that are going on in life and family. Because guys, we're living in a time where truth is a little like Pilate when he said to Jesus, "What is truth?" We have all various descriptions of it. I won't go into it. But the truth of the matter is that for something to grow, it must have truth to it, to grow healthy. In May 2005, my oldest and only sister, Teresa, went home to be with the Lord. She had adrenal cancer. When they first diagnosed her, they gave her 2 months to live. She lived 6 more years. Doctors are like, "We don't know what's going on." You know, as people were praying, her tumors were shrinking, which was something but she lived for 6 more years. What is cancer? CancerCity.com says, "Cancer is the uncontrolled growth of abnormal cells in the body. Cancer develops when the body's normal control mechanism starts working. They are false, abnormal, or untrue cells that mimic the real thing." Paul, as you go through Ephesians chapter 4 to verse 25, he's going to tell us to put off or to take off like clothing falsehood. A parallel verse to this is Colossians 3, 9, and 10. It says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you put off the old self with its practices, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of his creators." See, listen, believers should want to be like Christ, because Christ is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. To be strengthened by the Holy Spirit who guides the church as the spirit of truth. Satan, by contrast, is the father of lies. And as followers of Christ, we must be committed to truth. This means our words should be honest, that our actions should reflect Christ's integrity. Speaking the truth is not always easy. Amen? Convenient? Nope. Pleasant? Nope. But it's necessary if the church is going to do God's work in the world and for us to be better together. This morning, if you want truth, We are hellbound. We are sinful and sin-filled. We cannot manipulate, schmooze ourselves, or politic ourselves out of this predicament. And here's the truth of the gospel. I love how Tim Keller puts this. You are more sinful than you can ever imagine and more loved than you could ever believe. Isn't that what we just sang? Are you connected? In a world of untruths, are you connected with others? This leads us next to our aim, to be growing up into Christ. Look at verse 15, part B. We are to grow up in every way into him. There's a young couple that Tammy and I mentor. They live in Mississippi, Ben and Mimi. They just had their first little baby, little cute Mila. Lord have mercy. And we got to babysit Jake, who many of you guys knew, who last year was baptized, and because of this church came to faith in Christ through the love that you have, and got to see him and his wife, Kinsey, their baby, Gravely. And just get to, so you got little babies, little cute little babies. And then you got DJ, who's a freshman in college, who's now grown up. Why? Because our aim as parents was to see him grow along with Jackson and my beautiful Taylor and my wonderful Jaden and my awesome Jackson Alexander. I love that name. Jam. Woo! Huh? Because when we're having children, the goal is, like right now, Mila, she's a baby. She's dependent. All right? You know, I always tell the boy babies, listen, enjoy being a boy baby, because that's the only time that you can burp, spit up on yourself, toot, fart, and women think that's cute. Enjoy that very short window, because later on it's not like, ooh, that's so cute. It's like, ooh, what's wrong with you? Like, really? All right. But babies are dependent. But one of the things that we're moving babies is we're growing them to independence. But a lot of times we make the mistake and think that independence is the end game. No, that's not it. We want independent people to be moving to interdependency, where they realize that they're not an island unto themselves, but that they're connected, Redwood, interconnected with others, and they have something to give as well as to receive. The reality is that there are some areas that we need to grow up concerning possessions. Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And sometimes we can place too much value on money and possession. It's not wrong to have money, but we need to heed the scriptural warning that the love of it. And we must grow up concerning possessions when we give God first place. Say first place. Second, we need to grow up in the area of concerning pleasure. 2 Timothy 3:4 says that people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We live in a pleasure-seeking, pleasure-loving society, and billions of dollars are spent every single year around this area. And people are searching for fun more than God, but the greatest pleasure possible is knowing Christ. Jesus is a high that doesn't give you a hangover. Jesus is a high that you don't wake up and you're like, did I do that? It is a glorious, wonderful, life-giving thing because he alone offers real and lasting enjoyment and satisfies, listen, the longing of the soul. We need to grow up concerning popularity. John 5:4, Jesus said, how can you believe when you receive honor from one another? Sometimes the issue of being truthful is that sometimes people, we want to be popular. We want to be liked. But listen, growing up concerning popularity means seeking to please and glorify God above all, as he is our audience of one. Grow up concerning position. Jesus said, labor for that food which endures unto everlasting life. Some put too much importance on their position that we literally live, eat, sleep, drink our jobs. Working is a blessing. It is a blessing. Amen. Teenagers, young people, work is a blessing. And we need to give much of our life. We need to give God
first place. So if those are the four places where we're supposed to grow, what are four ways we're expected to go up? I'm glad you asked. Look back at Ephesians 4, verse 13. 4:13, and it says this. Love it. Oh, so wonderful. God, ooh, your word's so good, Lord. He says, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The first way that we are expected to grow is to the unity of the faith. You see, in verse 3 of this chapter, there's a call to maintain unity, but here it's to attain unity. It means that the gifted people are to minister till all the church attains, literally reaches its destination. It's a word that's used in Acts for travelers. When they were traveling, they got to their place. Okay, y'all are looking at me a little interesting. All right. So my son is a Johnny now, St. John's. And we traveled out there to see this new thing called Johnny's football, which is wild. Okay? But imagine with me for a moment, if we're on our drive and somewhere by Clearwater, the cylinders say, hey, I ain't doing it no more. Or the steering wheel says, you know what? I feel like going to Mankato. Or the brake is like, I'm tired of all this load. Seriously, can't y'all carry your own weight? But what's amazing is that a car weighs nearly 2 tons. And you can't get nowhere without that little itsy bitsy key. Because every part is integral for you getting from your destination to the next place. And we believe that God intends and thus has called and enabled his children to go all out in promoting the unity of his family, of all those who trusted in Christ. Now, I want you to know something. Donald Wavro said this. Paul emphasized body growth in this passage, not self-growth. Meaning that each individual contributes to this unified growth as he allows his particular gifts to function as the roots of the redwood spread out and connect with one another. The other thing we're to grow in is the knowledge of the Son of God. This unity means a fuller and more complete experiential knowledge. The idea that believers have an intimate, growing, not perfect, growing relationship with the Lord. But Pastor Dave, sometimes I feel like I don't know if I have it in me. Okay, great. Passive sanctification. Philippians 2:13. For God works and wills in us to accomplish his good purposes. But our part, active, is Romans 12:1. Present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing. There's this part where God does this synergism of working with us. And in the end, the work that we do is by his grace, in his strength, for his glory. So he provides that for us. The other thing we see in verse 13 is to maturity. That instead of being an infant to grow up, not perfection, growth. And what's so sweet today? Ooh-wee! Ooh, man, that sounds like my dad, who I get to see in heaven. That the last time I was physically with him, we walked back to Calvary. A month later, he had a massive heart attack. And I'm going to see you. And I'm going to say, your grace so free washes over me. And Lord, we see you face to face. But today we get to celebrate after this service the next steps of obedience and growth for those who are being baptized. The focus is on the stature of God. There's a we. Every believer has a part in the body. Next, this passage talks about our authority, Christ being our head. Okay, remember that there would be unity. The emphasis of the word, if you go back to the beginning of chapter 4, it tells the why. It says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And it goes on to give the one. It says that there's one body, Christ's body, the fellowship of believers. There's one spirit, the Holy Spirit, who activates fellowship. There's one hope, that eternal life, that glorious future to which we're called. There's one Lord, Christ, to whom we all belong. One faith, our singular commitment to Christ. One baptism, the sign of entry to the church. There's one God and Father, God who is our Father and keeps us. And listen, oneness does not destroy individuality. The Holy Spirit is given some better ways of enunciating words than me. See, that's why I need y'all. all right? But the Holy Spirit has given each Christian special gifts for building up the body. And it's crucial. You are needed because we're better together. Our alignment. From whom the whole body, verse 16a, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. I love this in the New Jerusalem version that Chris Jones shared with our preaching team. By whom the whole body is fitted and joined together, every joint adding its own strength for each individual part to work according to its function, so that the body grows up until it has built itself up in love. That's beautiful. On Thursday, I got a last-minute phone call, and it was the head coach for Champlain Park, Nick Keenan, lives down the block for us, and he said, hey, would you come and speak to the football team? And the things that he's like, I observe this in your life, it's all Jesus. The jacked up stuff in me, Jesus is still working on. But I went and spoke with the football team that my oldest son played with and was explaining to them how as a team, you work together. And when a team is working properly together, there is success. And when they're not, there is not. I'm praying that the Vikings figure that out this year. Amen. Moving ahead. So when the body works together, and when God's talking about this body, he's talking about the capital C church, that church from one man, Acts 17:24, that he made one man from which he made every nation that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them, the exact places where they should live. God did this so that man would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. That beautiful thing of this body that the other day when I was sitting in my chair early in the morning, I was praying because my heart was heavy for brothers and sisters of mine in Afghanistan. And looking around my living room as I was sitting in the dark, and there's things that are fine there, but having a moment when I was sitting there thinking, like, that's great. But then my mind's thinking, I got a brother and sister who needs help to get out of a country. And is that really worth it? Not that it's bad, just in that moment I was feeling like, yeah, great, is that really, because we're connected to the body, the universal body. If God can't be contained in a temple, and the Bible says that even the heavens and earth can't contain him, we as a church, we as a nation, we as a continent can't do it. Because God is just all that. And then some and some, and some and some. And so when he talks about his body, he's talking about his larger body. And we're underneath the head, which is Christ. And as his body, as individual members, we all have something to contribute. I love what Pastor Harry said. There's something beautiful about people knowing they have something that they have to give. In our preaching team meeting, we were talking about the redwood. He said, listen, you can be a stick laying next to the tree, but if you're not connected, you're dead. So are you connected? Lastly, our activity. Grow into adulthood. 16b and c. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Colossians 1 says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. That word means to have first place. Because anything small, when it's not working, it affects you. Anyone ever have an ingrown toenail? Show of hands. Yeah. I got one of those bad boys when I was seminary. It's like, you know, I walk like this. I was walking like this until I had it taken out. And that's that little bitty toe. My beautiful bride the other day was removing a diaper from chicken. No, we're not, you know, chicken, but, you know, the little diaper thing. It hadn't defrosted fully. And the knife flicked, and it cut her finger. So went in and got stitches. But she was like, something's not right. She even asked the guy, you know, aren't you supposed to take x-rays. He's like, well, that's a cut. She's like, really, but how deep is it? He goes, well, it's not a paper cut. She's like, I know that. And after the fourth time, got it stitched, went home, but she's like, something didn't feel right. So went back and they said, you know what, we're gonna recommend you see a hand surgeon. So went in and he's like, all right, let's do that. Well, the hand surgeon called me afterwards. He said, oh, hello. He goes, yeah. He goes, the surgery, it went well. It was good that we did that. 95% of her tendon was severed. That it was literally hanging there by strands. And eventually it would have just ruptured. Now, that's on her thumb. This is just one member. But that little member has caused a lot of pain and discomfort and continue working because every part of us matters. And in the same way, it is. You see, working together, we can obey God more fully than any of us can alone. And we tend to underestimate what we can do by ourselves or overestimate what we can do by ourselves and underestimate what we can do as a group because we need the whole body to grow in Christ, to serve our nation, to serve our neighbors, even addressing things like brothers and sisters from Afghanistan. So come together, give, receive, express. As Chris Jones also said, he said, you just can't get, I gotta try to say it right, Chris has got this wonderful English accent. You just can't get it all from the telly. From the television. There's a special unity in the spirit. There's something about being there. Because you know, you've tried to explain something to someone, and people are like, they're looking at you. You're like, man, you just had to be there. I'd love to explain worship to someone this morning, but amen, wasn't it something to be here? Woo! That's all right. I'm enjoying. Amen. Walls Church, everybody. Closing, William Barclay said, the only thing which can keep the individual Christian solid in the faith and secure against seduction, the only thing which can keep the church healthy and efficient is an intimate connection with Jesus Christ, who is the head and directing his body. So let me ask you, how are you weathering the storms of life? Who are you growing with? Where are you interconnected with? Don't expect to plant yourself in the middle of a pasture by yourself and wonder why you're not weathering the storms of life or stunted in your growth. How are you sharing the rich nutrition in, up, and around you? I want you to notice, it wasn't just the big branches that helped the trees. It's all of them. All of them. Because what are big branches but little branches? Or medium-sized branches who were once little branches, which were little baby branches. Most importantly, for some of you today, are you even connected to the one that matters most, Jesus? Well, Pastor David, I'm not sure if I am. Great, that's what today is about. After the service, there's a ministry fair out to share about things that God is doing and to express this thing that we're better together. And it's not just looking for how you to spend time, but it's how can I grow, be fed, and pour into others. We believe in being connected in groups. We have wonderful men's groups, women's groups, care groups. Next week, we're going to be having our connection night and connection lunch for life groups, which are small gatherings of people who do life together, celebrating Jesus, connecting with people, contributing to others. You need a life group. You need a group of people to be connected with. You need someone to hear the good, to share and shoulder the bad, to encourage the faint-hearted when you feel weary, to challenge you when you feel complacent with the spiritual kicking your behind, and to serve others, to get out of your head and out of your navel-gazing and see the world around you. And see that God wants to work in and through you powerfully. We're going to have ASCs and Sunday electives, and even a partnership with Village School of the Bible that's doing a cover-to-cover at the YMCA, as they're hoping to see to reach the community, to put the C back in Christian of YMCA. And even hoping, as they've done in other areas, to see a new fellowship planted there of people who come to work out. Because in closing, listen, because of the immense riches in Jesus Christ, we are called to grow together as disciples of him and are authenticating our aim, our authority, our activity, and our alignment because we are truly better together. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus being the head and making all of this possible. Thank you that your grace so free, it washes over not just me, but us. And God, you want to do just some amazing things. And for people to have the most incredible 2021 to 2022 school year, it'll happen because we're better together. And so we pray that you would do immeasurably more in and through us according to your great working in us, the church. In Jesus' name, amen.